take 7 to 10 minutes minimum, although some like to go longer. 3. You will be doing approximately 17 21-day brain detox plan cycles per year. 4. Each day you do my 5-step switch on your brain learning process for the 7 to 10 minutes. 5. Over the 21 days, you are breaking down the toxic thought and building up the healthy replacement memory. 6. It takes 21 days for certain protein changes to happen in the brain for the new memory to become self-sustaining and for the old memory to be broken down. 7. By approximately day 7, the protein connection holding the memory in place is a bump shape. By approximately day 14, it is a lollipop shape. And by approximately day 21, it is a mushroom shape. 8. You need to repeat the 21-day cycle for up to 3 more times for it to become automatized. 9. Automatization means it is in your non-conscious, controlling the conscious thinking that precedes what you do. Chapter 11. Gather. Step 1. You have to develop disciplined thought lives, and part of that is increasing your awareness of what you are allowing into your mind. The gather step is, therefore, all about becoming aware of all the signals that are coming into your mind from the external environment through the 5 senses and understanding the internal environment of your mind. So as you answer the questions in this section, you are focusing on developing awareness, which means you are starting the process of bringing those rogue thoughts into captivity. The signals come from 2 sources. These signals come from 2 sources. 1, the external environment that comes in through the 5 senses, electromagnetic and quantum signals, and 2, the thoughts deep in the non-conscious metacognitive part of your mind, your memories. Let me explain what I mean. Perhaps as you listen to this, you have some of your favorite music playing in the background. You might be sitting in a comfortable chair, smelling a scented candle while savoring a piece of fruit. If you are in this idyllic setting, all 5 of your senses, sight, sound, smell, touch, and taste, will be your link between the external world and the internal world of your mind. Question. What are you experiencing through your 5 senses as you are listening to this? Try to describe this in as much detail as possible. This is a simple exercise just to help you become aware of what is coming into your mind. This simple awareness can be developed to the point where you learn not to let any thought go through your mind unchecked. As we move on with this section, there is a lot of brain information. Take your time and just enjoy how intricately God has made you. And please remember, you are brilliant and intelligent and totally capable of understanding because you are made in His image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. The signals enter the brain. This incoming information then travels through some astonishing brain structures, some of which include the thalamus, insula, and basal ganglia, that flavor, enrich, and distribute the information all along the way. You think with groups of brain areas, circuits, and columns, not with single brain areas. So once the information enters the brain, it is a signal that creates major cascading intrinsic inside your brain activity. The circuits and columns around the basal ganglia, deep down inside the middle of the brain, for example, get the brain into a state of expectation as preparation to build the new incoming information. Part of this activity is the movement of thoughts, existing memories, linked in some way to the incoming information, moving from the non-conscious metacognitive level to the conscious cognitive level. See Chapter 8 to remind yourself of these concepts. These thoughts in your brain look like trees in a forest. And as the signals sweep through these trees like a wind, research shows they will activate around 4 to 7 thought trees, memories, that will then move into the conscious, and you will become aware of them, See Chapter 8. I call this the breeze through the trees. Question. What thoughts are bubbling up into your conscious mind right at this moment? Focus in and see how many there are. Thoughts have an emotional component. When you think, you also feel. This is because thoughts have an emotional component in addition to the information or what the actual memory is about. This means that when you bring a thought into consciousness, you also bring up the attached emotion. When the thought, along with its emotions, bubble up into the conscious mind, you feel the emotions. So there is a difference between emotions and feelings. Every thought has emotions as part of its structure, and they are stored in the non-conscious mind. When the thoughts move into the conscious mind, we feel the emotions of the thoughts. Attitude. Attitude is a state of mind, a thought plus its attached emotions, and it influences what you say and do. If the attitude that is activated is negative, then the emotional response will naturally be a negative or stressful feeling. If the attitude is positive, the feeling will be peaceful. The truth is that your attitude will be revealed no matter how much you try to hide it. Question. Can you determine the attitude of the thoughts that are currently moving through your conscious mind? Try to focus in on the feelings they are generating and describe them in as much detail as possible. How does your mind feel? How does your body feel? Thoughts can't be hidden. Attitudes aren't harmless. Your attitudes, positive or negative, not only can't be hidden from others, but they also have a profound impact on your own brain and body. You can refer back to Chapter 7 for a reminder of how this works. When a thought plus its emotions, attitudes, moves into the conscious mind, it produces a signal. The hypothalamus, which does many amazing things, one of which is to respond to our emotional state of mind or our attitude, responds to this signal. The hypothalamus responds. Part of what the hypothalamus does is alert the rest of the brain to release chemicals like serotonin and glutamate to help with the process of building a new memory. The endocrine system is a collection of glands and organs that mostly produce and regulate your hormones, and the hypothalamus is often referred to as the brain of the endocrine system, controlling things like thirst, hunger, body temperature, and the body's response to your emotional life. The hypothalamus is also like a pulsating heart responding to your emotions and thought life, greatly impacting how you function emotionally and intellectually. This means that if you are anxious or worried about something, the hypothalamus will respond by releasing more chemicals than it should. This, in turn, causes the pituitary to release too many chemicals, and the result is neurochemical chaos. So instead of being focused in our thinking, we have chaotic and foggy thinking. The endocrine system secretes the hormones responsible for organizing the trillions of cells in your body to deal with focus and learning. Negative, toxic thoughts have the opposite effect, shifting your body's focus to protection and survival, thus reducing your ability to process and think with wisdom or grow healthy thoughts. However, if you change your attitude and determine to apply God's excellent advice not to worry, the hypothalamus will cause the secretion of chemicals that facilitate the feeling of peace, and the rest of the brain will respond by secreting the correct formula of neurotransmitters, chemicals that transmit electrical impulses, for thought building and clear thinking. Question. Do the thoughts in your conscious mind at this moment make you feel peace or worry? Be aware of how your body feels. Are you tensing your shoulders? Is there an adrenaline rush going through your body? Although you may not be able to control your environment all of the time, you can control how it affects your brain. You can control how the signals affect your brain. How? The incoming information is still in a temporary state. It has not yet lodged itself into your memory, or become a part of your spirit, which defines who you are. You can choose to reject the presently activated thoughts and the incoming information, or you can let the information make its way into your mind, soul, and your spirit, eventually subsiding in your non-conscious and becoming automatized, dominating who you are. Even though you can't always control your circumstances, you can make fundamental choices that will help you control your reaction to your circumstances and keep toxic input out of your brain. Question. Do you feel like a victim of or a victor over what is swarming through your mind at the moment from the external and internal signals? Brain structures and circuits that help you make good choices. The amygdala and hippocampus and their connected circuits can help you make good choices. The amygdala deals with the passionate, perceptual emotions attached to incoming thoughts and all the thoughts already in your head. The hippocampus deals with memory and motivation. This is where you consciously step up to center stage. You need to choose and decide whether or not these incoming thoughts will become part of who you are. Let's look more closely at how you control this decision to accept or reject information. Question. Did you know you are able to accept or reject the thoughts flowing through your mind? The amygdala, perceptual library. The amygdala, a double almond-shaped structure located in your brain, is designed to keep you emotionally alert. When you become toxic in your thinking, it steps up to protect you from any threat to your body and mind, such as danger or stress. It puts the passion behind the punch of memory formation by influencing another structure that is very important to memory formation, the hippocampus, enabling you to give more focused attention to your existing memories. The amygdala is basically designed to deal with positive, love-based emotions like joy and happiness, but it doesn't work as well when you are in a negative state of mind. The thalamus acts like a transmitter station. The thalamus, deep in the middle of the brain, functions like a transmitter station, alerting the amygdala of any incoming information from the five senses. How does it do this? The amygdala functions like a library, storing the emotional perceptions that occur each time a thought is built. In other words, every time you build a memory, you activate emotions. The endocrine system in the brain has to release the correct chemicals, the molecules of emotion and information necessary to build healthy or toxic memories. Because the amygdala is in constant communication with the hypothalamus, which secretes chemicals in response to your thought life, you are able to feel your body's reaction to your thoughts. These physical reactions, rapid heartbeat and adrenaline rushes, force you to decide whether to accept or reject the information, basing your decision on how you feel physically. To help you even more, the amygdala has lines of communication connected to the frontal lobe, which controls reasoning, decision-making, analyzing, and strategizing, all executive-level functions. This connection enables you to balance the emotions you physically experience in your body and allows you to react reasonably. Here is the exciting part. At this moment, you can choose not to think about this issue anymore, and those temporary thoughts will disappear. Question. You do not have to be dominated by your perceptual library, in other words, your emotions. Do you feel dominated by your feelings that have arisen out of the thoughts active in your mind? The hippocampus, memory converter. If you don't manage to stop thinking about the issue, however, all the information, including the awakened toxic or non-toxic attitude, will flow into a seahorse-shaped structure called the hippocampus. The hippocampus is a sort of clearinghouse for thoughts. It classifies incoming information as having either short or long-term importance and files it accordingly, converting temporary thoughts into permanent thoughts that become part of who you are. A lot of this happens at night while you are sleeping. To do this, the hippocampus has to work with the central hub of the brain, a group of structures with circuits that integrate all the activated memories and work with the hippocampus to convert information into your permanent memory storage. This is where you begin some serious reflection in order to make some life-changing decisions. Question. Ask yourself, do I want this information to be a part of me? Stress. A good point to remember is that toxic memories create the negative stage 2 and negative stage 3 of stress. Stage 1 of stress is good and keeps you alert and focused. Stage 2 and 3 are normal stress gone wrong. The hippocampus is extremely vulnerable to stress because it is rich in stress hormone receptors that are normally used to reinforce memories. These receptors are like tiny doorways on cells that receive chemical information. For these brain cells, excessive stress is almost like an explosion, causing the hippocampus to lose cells and shrink. This affects the communication between the hippocampus and the central circuits of the brain, keeping it from building new good thoughts, memories, as well as causing memory loss. This is seen a lot in depression, Alzheimer's, dementias, and other neuropsychiatric disorders. Question. Toxic thoughts are the result of bad choices. Stress stages 2 and 3 are your body's reaction to toxic thoughts. Can you feel the stress reaction? Heart pounding, adrenaline pumping, or muscles tensing up in your body? Chapter 11 Summary. 1. Sensory information flows into the brain through the five senses. 2. Existing memories in the non-conscious are activated. 3. This activates memories to move from non-conscious to the conscious mind and attitudes are invoked. 4. The hypothalamus responds to the attitude by releasing chemicals necessary for memory building and emotions. 5. This activates the amygdala to recall linked emotional perceptions and to start building in new emotional perceptions. 6. All this information enters the hippocampus, which is involved in converting short-term memory to long-term memory. 7. All this electromagnetic, chemical, and quantum physics activity moves to the front of the brain. Let's move to the reflection stage and see how the hippocampus works with the central hub circuits of the brain in building thoughts. Chapter 12. Focused Reflection. Step 2. It is always fun to see science catching up with the Bible, as we discussed in Part 1. Focused reflection is an example of this. It is an ancient biblical principle most of us know, but it is also the current rage in neuroscience, and there are hundreds of studies with headlines like, "Mindfulness Meditation May Relieve Chronic Inflammation." Evidence supports health benefits of mindfulness-based practices. Breast cancer survivors benefit from practicing mindfulness-based stress reduction. Don't worry, be happy. Understanding mindfulness meditation. Mindfulness meditation training changes brain structure in 8 weeks. You get the idea. It always boils down to one thing. Although a lot of these studies talk about Eastern meditation techniques, what it boils down to every time is deep, intellectual, disciplined thinking with attention regulation, thinking, body awareness, emotion regulation, and a sense of self that changes the brain positively. Consequently, people gain health, happiness, and peace, exactly the instruction and consequence of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. NIV. In fact, throughout the book of Proverbs, we are instructed to gain wisdom and meditate on knowledge until we understand. Getting out of a toxic thinking block. If you are going to get out of any toxic thinking block, you need to think, understand, and apply the wisdom you gain. Thankfully, you have all the structures and physiological processes at your disposal to do this. Neuroplasticity and quantum physics are for your benefit and can help you enjoy every day. Don't forget that, as a neuroplastician, you can do your own brain surgery. This means no thought should ever be allowed to control you. See chapters 1 and 2. So once you have gone through the whole gathering awareness step, which disciplines you to be careful of what's going into your brain as well as what is coming out from inside, then you need to go deep and focus your reflection. As you catch your thoughts and enter into directed rest, an incredible change happens in your brain. Let's look at some of the technical side interspersed with some focused questions to help you digest the science. Just a quick reminder here. Each of these 5 steps that you do daily for 21 days are simple, yet there are profound parallel and simultaneous neurophysiological things going on in your brain that are so marvelous you cannot help but be one who admires God's work, as Thomas More put it. So don't let yourself get overwhelmed by the science. Instead, look at it with fascination and admiration of our gracious God. Science is pure evidence of grace. The rush to the front of the brain. After the gathering stage, the electromagnetic signals, your thinking, and those existing memories that have been brought into consciousness, speed through the hippocampus, moving toward the front of the brain, the basal forebrain and orbital frontal cortex, which are behind the inside corners of your eyes and above your eyebrows, respectively. The information flows through in the hippocampus for 24 to 48 hours, constantly being amplified each time it cycles to the front. Free will. The amplification sets in motion a delightful string of events so magnificent that it can only reflect the work of your Creator. This string of events is your free will and decision-making ability, a true gift. The thought becomes vulnerable to change. This amplification means the thought is conscious and becomes labile, which means it is unstable and changeable. In fact, it must change. See Chapter 3. The science of thought demands that change must occur either by reinforcing the thought as it is or by changing some or all of it. The memory cannot sink back as part of your attitude into your non-conscious mind without being changed in some way. This is marvelous news for you, but it also emphasizes the responsibility you need to take for your thought life. No thought is harmless, nor does it stay the same. It constantly changes. As I said in Part 1, you are constantly changing the landscape of your brain moment by moment. You are a thinking, creative being. Quite brilliant. Question. Now that you are aware that thoughts are unstable and changeable when they are in your conscious, cognitive mind, can you focus on one in particular and experimenting with changing it? When you think, you change. This constant change means that the deeper you think, the more change you can make. This change is real and happens via electromagnetic and quantum forces, as well as neurotransmitters activating genetic expression and protein synthesis. See chapters 2 and 3. As a reminder, proteins are made and used to grow new branches to hold your thoughts. So if you don't get rid of the thought, you reinforce it. This is phenomenal, because science confirms that you can choose with your free will to interfere with genetic expression, which is protein synthesis, Chapter 2. If you say you can't or won't, this decision will actually cause protein synthesis and change in your brain into I can't or I won't. Remember, mind controls matter, Chapter 1. Now, bringing into captivity every thought, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, KJV, becomes a lot more important. Thoughts are constantly remodeled by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. NIV. Question. You have to make a decision. Do you want to build memories out of this new information coming into your mind? When you do this, as you saw in chapters 2 and 3, you actually change the physical structure, neuroplasticity, of your brain. This is because thinking causes important neurotransmitters, chemicals in the brain that carry electrical impulses, to flow. These neurotransmitters plus electromagnetic and quantum activity cause changes deep inside the cell, affecting genetic expression and protein synthesis, as I have described earlier. Imagining builds physical thoughts. Research has shown that mental practice, imagination, visualization, deep thought, and reflection produces the same physical changes in the brain as would physically carrying out the same imagined processes. We see this principle in the Bible. Nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, Amplified. Brain scans show that the parts of the brain activated by action are the same parts of the brain activated by simply thinking about an action. This sheds new depths of understanding for the scripture. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Rehearsing things mentally is a great everyday example of how you can think and more deeply reflect on daily actions, because each time you do this, you change the memory. For example, if a surgeon is about to perform an operation, he first mentally rehearses each precise step, as would an athlete before a game or a student about to take an exam. As you mentally rehearse it, the newly built memory becomes increasingly stronger and begins to grow more connections to neighboring nerve cells, integrating that thought into other thought patterns. This leads to automatization, which I spoke about in Chapter 8. Question. Have you ever found yourself rehearsing something over and over for days on end, almost like you couldn't get it out of your head? How did that make you feel? A healthy thought and a toxic thought can both be built with mental rehearsal, but you can tear toxic strongholds down by choosing to bring the thought into conscious awareness for analysis and then changing it through repentance and forgiveness, which causes protein synthesis, and replacing it with the correct information, using Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, or a similar scripture guideline. Question. How do you tear down the toxic stronghold? The contribution of the heart. When talking about thinking, free will, and understanding, you need to also consider the exciting contribution the heart makes to thinking and decision-making. Your heart is not just a pump. It helps with decision-making and choices, acting like a checking station for all the emotions generated by the flow of chemicals from thoughts. In fact, every single cell is connected to your heart and, because your heart responds to and is controlled by your brain, every single cell in your body is affected by your thoughts. Your heart is in constant communication with your brain and the rest of your body, checking the accuracy and integrity of your thought life. As you are about to make a decision, your heart pops in a quiet word of advice. It is well worth listening to this advice, because when you listen to your heart, it secretes the ANF, atrial natriuretic factor, a hormone produced by the heart that regulates blood pressure and can give you a feeling of peace. Question. What role does the heart play in focused reflection? Expertise. When you think deeply to understand, you go beyond just storing facts and answers to storing key concepts and strategies that can help you come up with your own answers. These thoughts have been consolidated and stabilized sufficiently so that you have immediate access to them. When this happens, you have achieved a level of expertise. But this can happen in a negative or positive direction, with all the contributing effects. You should be aiming for that which you were naturally designed, deep, intellectual, non-toxic thought. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Focused reflection helps with this process, but for protein synthesis to consolidate, stabilize, and become part of you, repetition and rehearsal in frequent spaced intervals is necessary. The next three stages in thought formation, writing, revisit, and active reach, show you how to take advantage of this to stabilize your protein synthesis or bring your memory back up again to retranscribe or change it. Chapter 12 Summary. 1. Focused thinking is specifically focusing on one thought with its interconnections. 2. It is a directed and deep intellectual process. 3. It is a disciplined way of thinking that has the elements of attention regulation, controlling raging, and preventing chaotic thoughts from moving through the mind. 4. It includes body awareness, emotion regulation, and sense of self that changes the brain positively. 5. Huge activity in the center and front of the brain happens when we focus our thinking. 6. Neuroplasticity is dominant because, as you focus your thinking, you are starting to redesign your brain. Chapter 13. Write. Step 3. Your brain writes through genetic expression, so when you write things down on paper or type into your computer or iPad or whatever gadget you use, you are mirroring this process. Writing down your thoughts is important in the switch on your brain technique because the actual process of writing consolidates the memory and adds clarity to what you have been thinking about. It helps you better see the area that needs to be detoxed by allowing you to see your non-conscious and conscious thoughts in a visual way. It is almost like putting your brain on paper. Question: What does writing do to help your detoxing? The basal ganglia, the cerebellum, and the motor cortex are involved in this process. Let's talk about the basal ganglia first. The industrious basal ganglia, nestling between the cerebral cortex on the outside of the brain and the midbrain in both the left and right hemispheres, are intricate bundles of neurological networks that are interconnected with the cerebral cortex. These bundles are the basal ganglia. The basal ganglia also put their imprint on the process of thinking and learning by helping the hippocampus, frontal lobe, and corpus callosum turn thought and emotion into immediate action. Remember, all the parts of the brain work together in harmony. The process never involves just one structure alone. The basal ganglia do this by helping to ensure the memory gets built into the trees of the cerebral cortex. They also smooth out fine motor actions and set the idle rate for anxiety. Together with the motor cortex of the brain, the cerebellum helps you write down the information you have just understood. The cerebellum also helps with cognitive fluency, which is the ability to flow through a thought process smoothly as you evaluate the options. Obviously, all your brain structures become very involved in the writing process because writing is a complex cognitive and metacognitive process requiring deep thinking. For example, the structures in the frontal lobe become highly active in the thinking and decision-making part of writing. The temporal lobe and hippocampus become involved in calling up existing memories. The emotional parts of every activated thought generate feelings, and the structures in the middle of the brain dealing with emotional perceptions work harder, just to mention a few things. The complexity God has designed is beautiful. Question: What do the basal ganglia help with? How to write your thoughts. How you write down your thoughts is very important because there are ways of writing down information that work more effectively with your brain processes than traditional linear and one-color note-taking. My workbook and DVD series called Switch on Your Brain provides ideas on how to be brain-compatible when you are writing. I always encourage anyone who keeps a thought journal to be creative with their notes. I also encourage anyone moving through the process of detoxifying thoughts to be playful with their thought journal. Don't limit yourself to just writing in straight lines. If there are word associations or groupings that seem natural as you focus on information, group those on a page. Draw a picture or diagram to go along with that thought expression. Add color or texture. Pour out the impressions in your mind onto the page. The Metacog. When I am helping students develop their learning and retention skills, I teach them a method I've developed called Metacog. The name might seem a little odd, but the process is fascinating. It is simple. Group patterns that radiate from a central point. Each pattern linked to the central point creates a branch. Then continue to develop each of the branches by linking more detailed patterns. The process can continue until you have explored every nuance of your thought. This method of pouring out your thoughts encourages both sides of the brain to work together to integrate the two perspectives of thought. The left side of the brain looks at information from the detail to the big picture, and the right side of the brain from the big picture to the detail. For full understanding to take place, which will result in the conversion of short-term memory to long-term memory, both perspectives of thought need to come together. So a metacog is a way of seeing your thoughts on paper and evaluating the way you think and what you are thinking about. It is a great way of following your thought patterns so you can detox your thought life. Chapter 13 Summary. 1. The actual process of writing consolidates thoughts, memory. 2. Writing adds clarity to what you have been thinking about. 3. Writing helps you better see the area that needs to be detoxed by allowing you to see your non-conscious and conscious thoughts in a visual way. 4. Keep a thought journal. 5. Pour your thoughts out and only sort them in the next step, the revisit. Chapter 14. Revisit. Step 4. Revisiting what you have written will be a revealing process. This is exciting as well, because it is a progressive moving forward step. You revisit where you are and look at how to make change happen. After you have gathered awareness and done your focused reflection and writing, you will have stimulated major neuroplastic activity, putting your brain in a highly active and dynamic state for marvelous and positive change. This is the perfect state to be in to rewire. This step is all about you wiring in what changes you want. You get to design your new healthy thought to replace the toxic thought you want to get rid of. It's all about redesigning, reorganizing, and recreating the specific thought you are working on. Thoughts become plastic enough to be redesigned. Earlier, I explained that when thoughts are activated and pushed into the conscious mind, they enter a labile state, meaning they can be altered. When a memory is in this plastic state, it can be modified, toned down, or retranscribed and reconceptualized by interfering with protein synthesis, an important molecular process in thought building. This is where you do some serious brain surgery. See Chapter 3. This is exciting, because once the thought is in the conscious mind after the gather, focused reflection, and writing, you can redesign the thought and change it or keep it the same, but make it stronger. You choose. Obviously, if you are doing the 21-day brain detox plan, you have chosen to change the negative, toxic thoughts. God builds into the science of thought this amazing ability to renew our minds, which in turn rewires the brain. This means that each time a thought dominates your conscious mind, you can do something with it. You are not a victim of your biology. You can control your reactions to events and circumstances. You can choose to keep your thinking the same or change it. Either way, protein synthesis happens. The toxic memory will either be changed or be strengthened. This process is the major role of the revisit stage. Question: how can thoughts be redesigned? How to redesign thoughts. In the revisit, You evaluate what you have written down and work out what the healthy new thought you want to build is going to be. You work out the way forward, a little at a time. Remember, you have 21 days to do this, so don't try to do it all in one day. Visualize what you want the end result to be, but get there in 21 days. Not only do you have the opportunity to examine your thoughts on paper, but you have the opportunity to rethink through your reaction to the information, evaluating how toxic the thought is, and then retranscribing it to be a healthy and strong part of your memory library. By consciously becoming aware of your thought life, you are retranscribing and changing your underlying neuronal networks. You need to uncover the toxic thoughts that create such powerful internal conflicts in your mind and that are capable of causing such radical electrochemical imbalances that, when taken to the extreme, cause parts of yourself to be cut off from the rest of you. While gather, focused reflection, and writing are hugely instrumental in this retranscribing and rewiring process, revisiting is a self-reflective process, see Chapter 5, that has the purpose of getting free from the internal conflicts with positive planning of the way out. It is a constructive step that takes you through the problem, and it is cumulative. This means you need to think deeply, which takes 21 days for the kind of depth in thinking that results in change, so you don't have to solve everything on day one. In fact, that would not be wise. Question: what is the main purpose of this self-reflection? In revisiting, you are not only looking at how you go about dealing with your circumstances, but you are also thinking through your reactions again, evaluating the toxicity levels, and retranscribing them. This is a positive looking for the solution step. It feels safe because you are working out the way forward. This is where the Bible is so perfect as a guide, because it lays out all the correct management principles for toxicity. At this revisit stage, if you discover you are a worrier, the scripture in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, which instructs us not to worry about tomorrow, is a good verse for you to apply. So if you line up your revisit with the principles outlined in God's Word instead of worldly psychology, you have a foolproof method for doing the right thing. Chapter 14 Summary. 1. The revisit step is a moving forward step during which you are working out solutions and ways to overcome. 2. This is when you evaluate where you have come from and where you are going. 3. You also have the opportunity to think through your reactions again, evaluating the toxicity levels and reorganizing, redesigning, and retranscribing. Chapter 15. Active Reach. Step 5. Active reaches are the challenging but fun part of this plan, because they are actions and exercises you say and or do during the course of the day and evening. You, in essence, practice using the new healthy thought until it becomes automatized, like a good habit. See Chapter 8. You decide what these active reaches will be in Steps 4 and 5 each day, and then you monitor, evaluate, and change them each subsequent day of the 21-day brain detox plan. The doing gets the results. It is the doing nature of the active reaches that results in ungluing the branches from your thought trees. Steps 1 through 4 have loosened and weakened the branches, but Step 5 literally destroys the branches. Here is how this works, and why the active reaches are so important. The branches, with all the memories and emotions, are attached to a cell body with a type of protein that is like glue, like branches attached to a tree trunk. There is more glue on the branches that are used the most, so when you shift your attention from the negative, toxic thought to the positive, healthy, new replacement thought, three things happen. 1. The electromagnetic and quantum signals from your decision to change attack the branches of the toxic thoughts, weakening them because the signals are more powerful than the negative thoughts. 2. This causes neurochemicals to flow, like oxytocin, which remolds, dopamine, which increases motivation and focus, and serotonin, which makes you feel good. These chemicals also weaken the toxic branches. 3. The glue starts moving away from the toxic tree to the healthy tree. Question. What is the power of the doing nature of this active reach step? Your faith manifests. The active reach is the stage in which you reach out beyond toxic thinking by applying the principle, faith without works is dead. James chapter 2, verse 20. This is where your faith manifests, and you actually do something with the detoxing that has been going on until now. You reach further. It is the final step to switching on the brain and detoxing. But you can't reach with success without the foundation created in the previous steps. Only when you have been through all of those steps and completed the process can you move forward, changed in a positive direction. An active reach is not just the decision to forgive. It is the actual forgiving. It is not just the decision to believe that God heals. It is the actual believing. It is not just the decision to stop worrying about your children and trust they will make the right decisions because God is watching over them. It is actually stopping the worrying. It is not just confessing God will meet your needs. It is the actual believing. It is not just the decision to lose weight. It is the actual lifestyle change to lose the weight. It is not just the decision to stop dwelling on the past. It is the actual stopping the dwelling on the past. It is not just the decision not to talk negatively. It is the actual not talking negatively, no matter how tempting it is to do so. This is when you reach beyond where you are. Moving through the sequence. When you have moved through the five-step sequence, gather, reflect, write, revisit, active reach, to detox your thoughts and simultaneously build the healthy thought, you will have built a secure foundation for change, health, and wholeness. It will not work, however, if you just mouth a positive confession without a solid foundation. This creates what science calls cognitive dissonance. Building a structure for change on a faulty foundation will never create persistent patterns in your brain to bring you peace. Instead, it will fall down when the proverbial wolf, trouble, blows down your house of sticks, confessions without foundation. Integrity in the brain. In the brain, building a foundation is called having integrity, which means you are using your words and actions to line up the thought with its beliefs and feelings. Neuroscientifically, the progression goes like this. The amygdala provides input to the mind about the emotions. Gather. The thalamus and hypothalamus provide input on motivation, and the memory networks provide information on the existing memories. Reflect. The central hub in the brain mixes and integrates this all together. Write. And the heart acts as the checking station, and you make the decision. Revisit. You can be presented with all the reason, logic, scientific evidence, and just plain common sense in the world, but you won't believe something is true unless your brain's limbic system, the central location of your emotions, allows you to feel that it is true. So you can't imagine and feel, change your brain structurally one way and speak something different, because if you do, there will be a lack of integrity operating in your brain, which will leave an overwhelming feeling of being out of control. Active reaching helps you feel truth. The active reach helps you feel whether or not something is true. It helps you line up the thought, imagination, with the confession, words coming out of your mouth, and action. Clearly, then, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Becomes the principle operating here. Here is an example of active reach. You are working on the toxic thought of saying, out loud or in your mind, a lot of could have, would have, should have, if only statements. Your active reach step is saying, I will not say this. I am putting the past behind me, or visualizing the situation, event, or issue disappearing in a puff of smoke, or quoting a verse that's applicable, or doing something fun like smiling, yawning, or tapping your foot. A second example. If the toxic thought is that you keep trying to change the past by playing movies in your mind, thinking that if you did that, then this would have happened, and then this should have happened, and then you wouldn't have... Active reach is to say, I choose to stop playing this movie, or I am switching that movie off, quoting a Bible verse that applies, or praying a prayer you have created for that situation. A third example. The toxic thought is that you find it hard to accept that something is over, done, and in the past, and you won't let it go. The active reach is to visualize the walls of Jericho falling down and see those walls as this past experience. Telling yourself, I can't, is a decision, but so is I can. Choose I can, or quote a scripture. You can't trick yourself, and you can't trick God. After all, you are made in His image and are therefore exceptionally intelligent. Now, using your exceptional intelligence, look at the simple summary below of how to do the 21-day brain detox plan and start renewing your mind and rewiring your brain. Summary for the 21-day brain detox plan. 1. You do the 5 steps of the switch on your brain technique daily for 21 days on one specific toxic thought. 2. It takes you 7 to 10 minutes to work through the 5 steps, and then you do your selective active reach at least 7 times throughout the day. So the active reach, step 5, has an action component that you do throughout the day. You have worked out what your active reach would be through using the insight you gained from steps 1 through 4. 3. One brain detox cycle is 21 days. 4. You can do as many 21-day cycles as you need on the same toxic thought to rewire it, but most times one cycle will do. 5. You are simultaneously breaking down a toxic thought and building up a healthy thought. 6. You need to practice automatizing the new healthy tree by consciously practicing using it for at least 2 more 21-day cycles. Next is a guide to help you master the 21-day brain detox. Learning to break down the toxic thought. 1. Gather. 1 to 2 minutes. Purpose. Bring thought into consciousness. Example. Worrying about money. Don't forget, it is the Holy Spirit who will guide you into all the truth. John chapter 16, verse 13, NIV. So let Him, and not yourself or someone else, make the decision about what you need to renew. Activity. Go to chapter 11 for all the step 1 gather questions to guide you. 2. Focused reflection. 1 to 2 minutes. Purpose. Loosen up branches. Activity. Review chapter 12. 3. Writing. 1 to 2 minutes. Purpose. Start shaking the branches to loosen the glue. Activity. Review chapter 13. 4. Revisit. 1 to 2 minutes. Purpose. Shift the glue to the new healthy thought. Activity. Review chapter 14. 5. Active reach. 1 to 2 minutes. Purpose. Start melting down the branches. Activity. Review chapter 15. Learning to build up the healthy thought. Now let's look at the parallel building up process, which you do at exactly the same time as you do the breaking down process to balance the negative with the positive. You don't want to get stuck in the negative, toxicity, so you immediately bring balance to the situation. 1. Gather. As you identify the toxic thought in the breaking down process, you immediately, prayerfully, consciously think of the replacement thought. For example, My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, ESV. See chapter 11. 2. Focused reflection. Grow and integrate healthy branches by reflecting on the positive and not just dwelling on the negative. See chapter 12. 3. Write. Add more information and links with other branches by writing the positive alongside the negative. See chapter 13. 4. Revisit. You are doing the same thing in the breaking down and building up processes here. The steps cross over because you are planning the solution to replace the problem. This starts stabilizing the branches to firm up the glue bonds. See chapter 14. 5. Active reach. This is the same step as in the breaking down process, but here you actually do the active reaches. This strengthens the new thought branches. See chapter 15. Repeating steps 1 through 5 daily for about 7 minutes eventually eliminates the toxic tree and stabilizes the healthy tree. Like the scripture says in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 and 23, you can say to this mountain, "May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea," and it will happen. NLT. We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Switch on Your Brain, the key to peak happiness, thinking, and health, by Dr. Caroline Leaf. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Caroline Leaf. Unless otherwise indicated, scripture quotations are taken from the New King James Version, copyright 1982 by Thomas Nelson Incorporated. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Scripture quotations labeled AMP are taken from the Amplified Bible, copyright 1954, 1958, 1962, 1964, 1965, 1987 by the Lockman Foundation. Used by permission. Scripture quotations labeled ESV are taken from the Holy Bible English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission. All rights reserved. ESV Text Edition 2007. Scripture quotations labeled GW are from God's Word. Copyright 1995, God's Word to the Nations. Used by permission of Baker Publishing Group. Scripture quotations labeled Message are taken from The Message by Eugene H. Peterson. Copyright 1993, 1994, 1995, 2000, 2001, 2002. Used by permission of Nav Press Publishing Group. All rights reserved. Scripture quotations labeled NIV are taken from the Holy Bible New International Version, NIV. Copyright 1973, 1978, 1984, 2011 by Biblica Incorporated. Used by permission of Zondervan. All rights reserved worldwide. www.zondervan.com. Scripture quotations labeled NLT are taken from the Holy Bible New Living Translation. Copyright 1996, 2004, 2007 by Tyndale House Foundation. Used by permission of Tyndale House Publishers Incorporated, Carroll Stream, Illinois, 60188. All rights reserved. Scripture quotations labeled KJV are taken from the King James Version of the Bible. Performed by Joyce Bean. Directed by Justin Van Haven. Performance copyright 2013 by Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brilliancedaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.